baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Jitter Park. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. Hello! I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight. Tonight.
You are too kind.
Too honest.
Well, that should be good corn time. It's a movie.
Robert will drink Diet Coke tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar he will drink it tomorrow.
It's always with me. Any moment.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
We were talking about Diet Coke before the show, and I was talking about it. Robert just kind of nods until I stop talking about it. But apparently there's a huge market for Diet Coke people. They have pillows, they have chairs, they have shirts. Like, I mean, actual full-size shirts. It's pretty amazing. Shower curtains.
People are serious about it. I mean, I get it.
I get it. I'll get like a Hershey's, because I love Hershey's chocolate shirt, because it's like cool. You know, I can see Diet Coke people wanting to do that.
Yeah.
Not you, though. You don't take it that far?
I do not. I'm trying to think if I have any Diet Coke paraphernalia. I don't think I do.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, no problem. So we got a great show tonight. You're listening, of course, to the podcast of Set Jitter Saturdays with Robert Patterson, the creator of the website setjitter.com. And tonight's show, of course, is sponsored by Tubi. Tune in and relax. But not to damper the mood, but we do have some sad news. Of course, this week we lost two famous people that for better or for worse have really been ingrained in pop culture. First we lost Olivia Newton-John earlier this week, and of course today at the time of this recording we lost Anne Hesh to the from that accident.
Yeah, so I guess start with Olivia, and I'm wearing my Xanadu shirt today. Actually Xanadu on Broadway shirt.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. And the day that Olivia Newton-John passed away, you posted the anniversary for Xanadu.
Yeah, it was actually weird. I mean, that morning, you know, different Olivia groups posting fun photos. Happy 42nd anniversary to Xanadu. And then I was at work, and I saw it right on her husband posted on the Facebook, on his Facebook Instagram page. And because it didn't show up anywhere else for like a good 15, 20 minutes, so I didn't quite believe it. I thought, were they hacked? Is this some type of bad joke? Or you know, every once in a while, there's sometimes press releases that are pre-done and accident, right. You know, and I thought, well, maybe worst case. And then it just got more, obviously, they start picking up and confirmed that it was true. So obviously, you know, I grew up with Grease. I think I sent you a picture of me at my desk, and there's a little Grease logo on the thing.
Yeah. So sure.
It's been a part of my life, and she's been a part of my life. And I think I've seen her 3 or 4 times in concert. So
yeah, it's
devastating.
It is devastating. It's really amazing how certain people kind of stay with you most of your life, and you feel, you know, obviously admiration and everything for them, but just such a deep sense of sorrow when they go, you know.
Yep. And I think unlike, obviously we have celebrity deaths kind of all the time, and I think something, one, she's a little bit different. Obviously she's been around for decades and just kind of has been a cultural icon, mostly through Grease and her songs. But she was also so nice and giving that she's really remembered just as much for that as anything else. So I think that's what makes it kind of more heartbreaking for everybody.
And that says a lot too, because, you know, with fame and everything, you know, being bombarded and people wanting a piece, and it's tough to go out and all that, to kind of carry on that that kind of kindness in your heart towards other people really speaks volumes, I think.
Yeah.
And what I didn't know about Olivia Newton-John is how much records she actually sold. Like, take Grease away.
Mm-hmm.
Just the amount of, like, the millions of albums that she sold over the years. I never realized it was that much. It's incredible. Before Grease, she was the superstar.
Oh, absolutely. And so that was, she just kind of kept catapulting from there. And I do, obviously I've been rewatching stuff or, you know, they've been having kind of some special videos, but I forget how she was banned, you know, for physical, the song and video. I mean, now.
Yeah, what was that? Why was she banned?
It was too sexual of a song. And it was just like, now you look at it, this is nothing, you know? So it is strange, you know, that.
I know. You take away the decades of what was acceptable. Like Elvis in the 50s, they were like, oh my gosh, the hips. And by the 70s, even Elvis was like, yeah, it was tame compared to what's happening now.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so anyway, so it was strange because the weekend before, I've been actually revisiting a lot of Xanadu the Musical for reasons unknown. I saw two or three, I think three times I saw that Xanadu on Broadway, which was 2007, which was a lot of fun. And she visited the show and for, I think, I don't know if it was opening night, but I know she was there on the show and I think they kind of got nervous that she was there watching, but poking fun of the movie a little bit.
Yeah. How do you not get a little nervous with that?
Yeah. To actually have Olivia Newton-John in the audience, but she's a good sport. Was a good sport.
It sounds like she's a good sport. She knows how to rock it.
Yep.
So. I feel the same way when I go to order a Diet Coke and I feel like you're watching me if I'm going to mess up the way I drink it. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Are you just ordering a plain Diet Coke? I don't know. The Coke really messes. They have a lot of, like, you know, orange cream Coke. I like just all these weird flavors, but it just seems disgusting to me.
Yeah. Do you ever order Diet Coke and you get regular and then you spit it out right away and go, pretty much. This isn't
Yeah. Diet. Usually, like, this is not right. Or no. If they Diet Pepsi, okay? I'm like, no.
You want me no. Oh, drink, that's offensive.
You're asking me to drink toilet water? What's going on here?
Yeah, even I know that. That's yuck. But yeah, so Olivia Newton-John, sorry to sidetrack us there. I really felt bad for you this week. Because I know she meant a lot to you. I feel bad.
A lot of people did. A lot of people. I got a lot of posts. Like, people are, you're the first person I thought of, so...
That's a compliment.
It is. So and I was fortunate to, like I said, see her and then meet her after her shows, one of her shows at the when she had a Las Vegas residency. So I remember my sister and I were just talking about this, that we didn't want to go opening night because they wanted to make sure they had their crap together and figured it out. So we went to the second night.
Yeah.
Because we thought, okay, they should have, because, you know, opening night, sometimes it get canceled. They're like, oh, we're not ready, or, you know, so.
And technical stuff can happen.
Yeah, you just never know. So, and we also, same thing, we didn't want to be the first person in the meet and greet line after. And so I remember we were like second and third. And so just one, I remember we had front row of the concert. So obviously that's amazing enough. And right near the end, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to meet her and talk to her. You know what? I'm just like, I started getting emotional.
Yeah, of course.
Like, you know, I'm like, oh my, what? I'm getting nervous. And
you get the willies.
Yeah. So, and I brought, you get a free autograph, you know, at your seat. And then I brought one of my favorite Grease trading card for her to sign. And
cool.
I remember just kind of talking to her about the jacket and she whispered something into my ear and everybody in line stopped me. Was like, what secret did she tell you? Not everybody, but, you know, people saw her kind of whispering something. They kind of wanted to know what she was up to. But anyway, sweet as can be.
Sweet as pie.
Yes. And then December 2019, I got to meet her and John Travolta at a special Grease screening that they were doing. I think they did three meet and greets or kind of Grease sing-alongs in Florida. And so that's probably one of my... I got pretty emotional during that screening for I'm not sure what reason. I don't know if it was all coming flooding back to me, getting to meet them and the T-Birds were there and just kind of everybody having a good time all at once. So,
yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Glad it happened.
Where was that in Florida that you said you met them?
Jacksonville, Florida. So they went to three different places in Florida. So the one I went to was in Jacksonville at kind of a amphitheater of some sort.
That's a lot. That's a quite a trek to meet all those Grease cast members in one spot.
Yeah, I was, you know, it was the director
the
was
chills?
There. Yeah, they actually had the Grease.
Were they multiplying?
They were. The Grease lightning car was there, which I've never seen. Yeah, so it was just kind of all this. I don't think I knew the director was going to be there, but he was. And so it was just John Travolta wore a Danny Zuko toupee. He was looking like Danny. He had his leather jacket on, and Olivia dressed in a yellow dress that was similar. So it was just
surreal.
You know, I could imagine 8-year-old Robbie.
Sitting with Danny and Sandy.
So, but, and you're just like other things. You're just with super like-minded people, you know, you were in your element.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. I felt that way when I met Leo D. Leonardo DiCaprio is my favorite actor, but he's like the reason I wanted to get into show business as a kid and all that stuff. And, when I met him, it was very like, you got the sweaty, palms. You get the sweaty palms. But rest in peace, Olivia Newton-John. It is that is a terribly sad loss. And then today, August 12th, we lost Anne Heche from results from the brain damage she suffered from the crash, which is really obviously not a doctor, but the timeline seemed very weird because she was obviously talking after the crash, but she was injured. Mm-hmm. And then they put her in a stable condition, and then she took a drastic turn and never recovered from that coma. So it was really I'm not going to say bizarre because it might happen all the time, but just a shocking turn of events of how quickly she was gone.
Yeah. Very sad. She was obviously, she had her fair amount of troubles, and I'll be honest, we've probably all have poked fun of her for, I mean, she was poking fun of herself. The name of her book was Call Me Crazy, that she wrote, but, it also kind of shows the breadth of mental health issues. And she's obviously somebody with more means than most people and still could not, there's certain troubles, that she could not kind of get past. And of course, a lot of times that help. It's perpetuated, or I guess worsened, between drugs and alcohol and all sorts of stuff as well. I know she has two sons, so it's kind of just, it's just all around sad on top of that. And then she also did not have, mm-hmm. She was great. She led a kind of great acting life. You know, I think it was almost 100 different productions that she was in, but she also was more or less blacklisted for, I mean, they made her leave the Volcano premiere, that she wasn't allowed to go to the after party because she brought Ellen as her date.
Yeah, they made her leave like at the end, and because I guess like God forbid we see you with Ellen.
Yes,
which that's a good reason to leave anyway. You never want to be seen with Ellen. She sucks.
But
now that we know why. I mean, that's messed up, man. That really is.
Yeah, and that was just 20 some years ago. That's not even.
Yeah, it was like, what, 97, 98?
I think so, yeah.
So it's terrible.
Anyway, but she, obviously, Psycho remake, and I Know What You Did Last Summer, and I was just thinking, did you see My Friend Dahmer? She played mm-hmm. Jeffrey's mom in that. Small role, but she did a good job.
She did do a good job. To me, she will always be, my favorite role is always Maggie Pistone and Donnie Brasco. Mm. It's a small supporting role, but she like rocks it, and she plays perfectly the, the lonely housewife that's like worried and upset and angry and trying to take care of the kids. And she's like, you hear yourself talking? Nothing. You know, you're a college man and all this stuff with, opposite Johnny Depp. I think Donnie Brasco is my second favorite mob movie outside of the obvious.
Yeah.
Like Godfather and stuff. It's just so good.
Well, she has to hold her own. I mean, to some of these big people, and I was thinking, and I Know What You Did Last Summer, she's just in one scene or two scenes. She's not really, she's not in it too much, but she made her mark.
She did, did a great job. So, yeah. And to your point of mental health issues, I mean, obviously somebody with more means than others, you might have a step ahead of you, to get that help faster. But it really. Everybody's different, and it's very tough to do that. It's very sad to see that. I don't know the conditions of what happened that day or if she was whatever, but it is very sad, and it's very shocking too.
It is. So, and I got to meet her once at Sundance Film Festival for a film called Cedar Rapids. took place in Iowa. I don't think they shot anything in Iowa, but they might have had some establishing shots. And she's from she's supposed to be from Omaha in the movie. So, but nice. Yeah. So I remember I was like, she was up on stage, and I usually kind of the rule at this particular Eccles Theater at Sundance, if they're on the stage, they're kind of unattainable, you know. And sometimes you can get them to come down and kind of crouch and take a picture if you get their attention. So, so I was trying to get her attention, and she saw me. She actually called me up to the stage and let me take a photo with her. And I'll be honest, I was kind of expecting, like, I was like, oh, what am I going to get? Just super. She was super down to earth and normal.
She was
going to be, yeah.
She was as normal as pie.
Yes. So, but yeah, she's I don't know what I was expecting, but just, you know, she was really sweet.
You don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
You could get sweet Anne Hesh. You could get like somebody that's, you know.
I don't know. You don't know. Yeah, but she was great at the time.
Did she talk to somebody after she met you and go, I don't know what to expect when Robert came up, but he was nice. He was like, cool.
You never know. Well, hey, that's the thing. Who knows what they get from fans to, you know, like, I mean, yeah. They're out there, you know, they have to put themselves out there.
Right, for sure. Yeah, so sad news this week. In some related good news in the entertainment world, our good friend Sean Kanan has finally been able to announce that he is officially returning as Mike Barnes in Cobra Kai Season 5. His karate is not a joke. What's that?
We were both kind of doing the pose. Oh, yeah. He likes to do those poses at conventions, I know.
The karate kid, the pose. But yeah, so I'm really excited about that. I know Sean has been very tight-lipped about it for obvious reasons, and he did everything but say over the past year and a half that he was in it. So now he's finally like able to get it out. And I did talk to him briefly 2 days ago,
and
he just said, "I'm so excited for, you know, this to come out, and I can't wait for you, you know, for everyone to see Season 5, because it's just something like you've never seen. It's super epic." So
nice.
Really excited about that. Nice. And I think Sean deserves it a lot. So
yeah, and I like how they and I know it's kind of gone on some weird pathways, especially the past couple seasons, but to me it's still fun, and it's still keeping everything in canon and acknowledging all this universe exists in its weirdest of ways,
which I like. I like that they tie it together.
But
retconning it where
well, yeah, we're like, that didn't happen.
That didn't,
you know, we're ignoring Karate Kid 3 because it didn't work out for this TV series or something like that.
Right.
I'm not pointing fingers at Halloween, but you know.
Right. That's exactly what came to mind. You're talking about Halloween, the new reboot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even though I'd be more than happy for them to say Halloween Kills was just a dream in the hospital. Here's what really happened.
Just as long as we don't make you, Robert, utter anything positive about Halloween Part 5.
Oof.
The Revenge.
At some point, you know, I'm sure there's something positive in there. But anyway, back to Sean. When is that new season starting? I know they started...
September 9th, it'll be out.
So it's not too far away.
No, I'm very excited for that. And I'm very excited to get together with him soon and kind of... You know, just congratulate him in person because he really wanted this. I know for a long time, nice. And it's been filmed for a long time, obviously. But I felt like he's always been very self-deprecating about Karate Kid 3 and his stand-up, because he does stand-up too. So his joke that he always does is, "Yeah, I was in Karate Kid Part 3," and everyone knows that's when the series really started finding its groove. And I just for Cobra Kai to be as big as it is, and I never thought it would become this massive thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like second to Stranger Things with the whole, you know, like 80s kind of nostalgia. I'm really just so happy for him. He's such a good dude. So if you're listening, Sean, congratulations, brother. And we're excited to see what happens.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, I probably need to rewatch the past couple episodes of the last season to remember what happened. So.
Right. Me too. Yeah, I'm due for a refresher.
And we watched Karate Kid 3, of course, because come on.
Have to do it.
With macaroni and cheese.
Have to do it. Macaroni and cheese. Okay, so this is exciting. This weekend, tomorrow, August 13th, is the 40th anniversary of Friday the 13th, Part 3.
In 3D.
We've talked about this 50 times, so I'm not going to repeat anything I've said in past shows. Go ahead and re-listen. Aside from, it is my favorite Friday the 13th, and check out the video online. I think it was your buddy Sean Clark posted
yep.
it.
Yep.
Of Robert visiting the barn. It's super special.
It's exciting. So I do want to get back there. I know they've already rebuilt the dock.
Really? The dock is finished?
Yeah, I know they cleared out where the lake was, or kind of pond. I know they cleared that out and already rebuilt the dock. And then I'm not sure where the progress they're at on the house or anything else. But so hopefully at some point, maybe next year. I was hoping they had it ready for the 40th anniversary. I think it would be kind of fun, but
yeah,
we'll take it when we can get it.
Now, a dock's a dock is a dock. The dock, I'm sure, looks the same spot as the last one.
Yep.
Yeah.
They'll put it in this. It is at the picture I saw. It is in the same spot, from what I can tell. So
nice. Alan, Debbie, Shelley's dead.
Alan. What's his name? It's not Alan. No, I can't think what it is. Andy.
Andy, that's it.
Andy.
Andy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. Shelly's dead. It almost sounds like she's laughing. Like, you know, when somebody tells a joke at a party and you're kind of drinking a little bit, you're like, say it again. It hurts. It's too funny. I can't. It's kind of like that.
It. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, one, how many takes you have to do? And two, what type of weird, you know, like,
what do you do?
It's you in front of 40 people.
Right. No, I know. I get it. How do you do it?
Yeah, I don't know. And we're just kind of focusing on Chili here because, I always wanted that. She had a little, I think I had something like that. She has a blue cowboy boot necklace for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. I just remember that stuck out. Don't
like a charm?
Just
think about
that now. Yeah, so I remember before I saw the movie, because I remember I'd see some stills, and one of the stills they would always have was Jason carrying her. But you couldn't tell who it was. You were just kind of carrying a body. And I remember that was on the side of the 3D glasses that you would get with different posters and so forth.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
it was Chili?
It was Chili.
They have that on the glasses?
Yep.
Oh.
I'll show you sometime.
Yeah, that's cool. So that's the 40th anniversary. Are you going to watch it this weekend?
I think I have to. You just kind of,
I've
seen it a million times, but I felt like, let's plop it on.
Yeah, no,
maybe,
no.
Maybe I'll pull out the 3D TV for it, too. I don't know. We'll see.
Yes. Do you watch the 3D TV a lot?
No.
It's they're tough to watch, right?
The thing is, they kind of stopped making them, and so some of the apps don't come with the new TV, but I also don't want to get rid of it because the new TVs don't. So if I ever need to watch something in 3D, I have it ready to go.
You have to.
But maybe I should watch it on the big OLED to see. That's 3D enough. I don't know.
and don't forget, Friday the 13th Part 3 is, in the entire franchise, is one of the more realistic, authentic use of police uniforms on film. As opposed to the second one, where he has the badge on the wrong side and he's wearing blue jeans, but he's a state policeman. I mean, no. The third one, they had like the sheriff uniforms, the matching cop cars. It was legit. Okay.
I feel like you should have an alternate YouTube channel for that. Just really is like
police and film.
Instead of the everything wrong, the cinema sins, like everything wrong with police, and and it'd be Friday the 13th Part 3, and then you just go through all the movies and like, come on, what?
What is this? Come on. No, it's true. It's true. Capital idea. But yeah, I think I'm going to watch it too. And it's Harold and Edna, and that those opening scenes, they're all gold.
Oh, yeah.
They're all gold.
God damn it, Harold.
Yeah. The little rabbit.
Drinking juice right out of the...
right out of it. And obviously check out Robert's page on setchitter.com, because you have an incredible Friday the 13th Part 3 page.
Yeah, it's pretty thorough. So yeah,
it's
I'll repost that for sure.
Yeah, it jogged my memory because Harold Edna's store is obviously not there.
It is long gone. So the only thing really, when the patio where the clotheslines were, that's pretty much all that's still left or still identifiable.
Yeah, you can see those like stones or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
not too much left.
What else? Something was filmed there from Terminator, right?
A deleted scene. So there was a deleted scene where I think she calls her mother from a phone booth. And then they kind of run around past the store, kind of by a bouquet fall sign, and have a little scene there. But it was cut out. So
Terminator 2?
Terminator 1.
Terminator 1. Okay.
Yeah, so just a couple of years after Friday the 13th Part 3. It was a hot spot for filming.
It's a hot spot for filming. So yeah, Friday the 13th Part 3, 40th anniversary. Happy anniversary to the greatest entry into the franchise. Okay, well, so next, right. Robert disagrees. You're going to go with 4, of course.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Next is what you've been watching. What have you been watching, Robert? Let's kick it off with you, because I want to hear about.
I have my list here, and it looks like a lot. Like, I have nothing going on in my life, but some of these I just have on in the background as I'm doing other things. So like I said, I did watch Xanadu on Broadway. Illegal bootleg, not illegal, but you know, bootleg copies. You know, yeah. I was kind of reliving that. So, sure. I finally dug out Broadcast News because I bought that the Criterion Collection. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one. Holly Hunter. Yes. This is kind of her. Semi-breakout role. I think she had filmed Raising Arizona before this, but it hadn't come out or something like that. So this is one that I watch every few years or so. So, and it's, I don't say the reason I maybe went to get into broadcasting for my undergrad degree, but watching the movie also scared me. I was like, oh my God, this is, people have to do this every day. So it was a little
right, yeah,
scary and intimidating. So, Baby Boom.
What's Baby Boom?
So it was late 80s Diane Keaton, where she's like a high-powered New York businesswoman, and she gets stuck with a baby.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, yeah, and so...
Hilarity ensues.
Yeah, how are we gonna, you know, how is she gonna deal with this? And of course, she moves to the country and meets a nice country veterinary doctor, and comes up with a wonderful idea of gourmet baby food, and creates a whole new business empire, and everything works out.
As you do.
Yes.
Did they take some cues from Doc Hollywood?
I've only seen Doc Hollywood once, and so I wasn't. I'll leave that to my sister. She was the Michael J. Fox fan, but I'm sure there's similar beats throughout. So, I always forget Harold Ramis plays her boyfriend in the first part of the movie, that he wants nothing to do with babies, so he has to leave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was this, like, ultimate yuppieville, you know, of kind of the way things work. So, and I don't know why it kind of hit my radar. I know Diane Keaton has a new movie coming out today, Mac and Rita, which actually I did some locations for, even though the movie just came out. But I went some of the locations that showed up in the trailer.
Mac and Rita, what's that? Is that
it's kind of a reverse where she goes to something. She's a 20-something woman, and then she goes to some hippie thing or something, whatever, and she wakes up as Diane Keaton, like, old.
And I put stuff
like that. And she's like, "What am I?" You know, so
like it's a reverse, right?
another Diane Keaton hilarity,
right?
Movie. So
you can't get enough of them.
I probably won't go see it in the theater, but I'll probably watch it at some point. So. I finally watched Madam X, the Madonna tour on, Plus, I think. So I go to the shows, and it's not the same to see them.
Wait, you've seen Madonna in concert before?
Yeah. You may not have known that. So if you haven't heard, so, but you know, I usually don't watch the show on the broad, you know,
it usually, right. Why would you need to?
It's way over edited and it's like just not the same, but I had it on in the back. I said, "Oh, I haven't watched this list yet, so I'll take a look at it." So I watched Sharkbait, which is another.
How was it?
it was fine.
Baited into it?
I say it was fine. The thing is, like, I knew well enough that I would forward through the dialogue scenes because I'm like, I don't care about these kids.
No. What are you going to do?
Just show me, you know, what's going to happen. So it was decent enough. You know, there's much worse things out there. But it was good enough. If you really have nothing to do on a Sunday night at 9 o'clock, Sharkbait might be for you. So
see, that's a good suggestion though. Yeah. There's too many people that's like, it's the worst thing ever. You're like, well, I'm not going to watch it. And then it's the greatest. You got to see it. It's like, well, now you're setting the bar too high.
Yeah.
But when somebody's like, you know what, if you're like traveling, like you do with your rating system, if there's nothing going on, you're doing laundry, that's the kind of stuff I want, because that's I actually will take those suggestions and like, you know what, I heard this wasn't great, but it was okay. Let me watch it to get it off the list.
Yeah, no need to pause if you need to.
Right, no need to pause.
Just let it go.
The wife and I will do that. We'll watch movies, and I know it's good. She'll go, I use the bathroom. You don't need to pause it.
You're like, but wait, it's going to be the most important part. This is where Chili finds Shelly.
Chili finds Shelly. Like the other night we watched Jaws. She's never really seen Jaws all the way through.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So she's like, you don't need to pause it. I was like, oh, it's being paused. You're watching every minute of this. But I get it. I get those. You're like,
I don't care. I watched Trainwreck, Woodstock 99 documentary on, I think it was Netflix. So
me too.
It's what did you think? I'll let you go first.
Well, I only watched like 3 episodes.
Gotcha. I think there's
My thought was, I remember when that happened, like on the news, you know, I was like prime MTV age at the time. So, one is I didn't realize there were that many problems there. With sexual
MTV
assault.
Didn't show that to you.
No, the MTV, they pulled their crew out of there.
Yeah.
So, two is, like most documentaries, it could have been done in one episode. I don't know. Do they need 6 episodes for like a 3-day music festival? I don't know. They're not really showing the music. They're showing like, you know, when I turned it off, I tell you, I liked it. I need to finish it. But when I turned it off, when they were doing Limp Bizkit and the girls, like the one of the narrators being interviewed goes, Fred Durst was talking. It was like he knew what we were thinking and was talking to every one of us individually. And I was like, done. Nope.
Good.
Fred Durst does not know what you're thinking as a collective community. And I was like, it's too much, man. I turned it off. But I liked it. I did like what I saw.
Admittedly, it was probably around that time. I definitely had a Fred Durst look.
I can see that.
I had the soul patch. I had a red backwards cap. And so...
I can totally see that.
I didn't really listen to his music or whatever. I didn't realize what a big deal he was. So I thought that documentary, it's okay. I think they were really... they went on to be Fire Island 2 documentary. But it's kind of what I felt like they were wanting to get out of this. But yeah, you see that. I was like, one, it's crazy. I mean, the amount of people... that just scares me. You know, when you have those masses of people and kind of...
Oh, yeah. No security. They had like... what was it? The Peace Patrol or something?
Yeah. Just it was a few guys in yellow shirts.
It was like 50 kids that signed up and they gave them yellow shirts. There weren't like policemen there.
Yeah.
So, like real like authorities.
And I'll skip to the next one. So I watched They Them. Not begrudgingly, but I thought, oh, it's the new Blumhouse, Kevin Bacon.
I saw it. Yeah.
Here's the thing. The whole time I was watching, I was like, I wish John Waters would have directed this. They either needed to go, they would need to go a lot further, you know, and just say,
yes,
you know, like, jump in the deep end of the pool. They played it too safe throughout and just kind of felt like a watered down American Horror Stories.
It did, man. Totally felt like a horror story. And they were shoving that down my throat for like a week. And I was like, eh. And then I saw your post about he returns to Forest Green, and I was like, sold. And I watched it that night.
And you're like, unsold.
Yeah. No, I mean, everything you just said, I couldn't agree more. Just go in the deep end at this point.
Yeah. So they did, for listeners, they did use filming locations from Friday 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. And so that same camp was also used in Little Darlings. And Little Darlings also used another camp, which they also shot at. So this movie has more locations in common with Little Darlings than Friday the 13th. But I thought it was the little twist that technically Kevin Bacon, I mean, he was in Part 1 and he's kind of semi-returned to Crystal Lake here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for that reason, it's worth checking out.
It's maybe. I don't. Yeah.
I like when he's bringing the kids in and the one kid's standing there and he's just like, yeah, I'm wanting to go to the cabin that's, I can't believe I'm fucking here or something like that. Because he's like the non-binary kid.
Yeah,
and he's like, I forget what he says, but he's something along those lines. By the way, that took me a minute to like digest that conversion camp stuff.
Yeah, this.
Do they still have those?
They probably do. I'm sure in the South that it's more prevalent than we think. So, but yeah, so that was my only thing. I was like, you know what? They really should have just gone farther with this to make it. Not campy, but you know, just outrageous enough to, you know, like the Fear Street. I was thinking about that. Yeah, they pushed the envelope, and I was like, wow, this is kind of kept jarring me, and I think we kept waiting for these moments. Like, if you're gonna do something like this, just do it. But
yeah, they, do it right.
I call the sequel didn't, you know, it's their weaker. And then so we also saw Twister on the big screen. So Alamo has movie parties, and so we went to the Twister movie party. So it was practically sold out, and we had some of the props we had. Some got a little annoying. So one was, actually I still have them, these, anytime it was windy, you had these kind of twirly flyers. And so everybody would, anytime it got windy, you would, everybody do their twirly flyers and stuff.
What do you
mean
the twirly flyer? Like a pinwheel or something?
Kind of. Let me grab it real quick if I can.
So yeah, Robert went to see Twister on the big screen. And while Robert's getting that, I just want to tell the listeners, I watched Twister that night. One of those things, the little streamers.
Yes. So this one is like 6 feet long. And so you'd have them up in the air. And so anytime it was windy, this is what you would do.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Yeah. And now it's a cat toy.
And a great cat toy at that.
You had to blow up a little white balloon. So when it was hailing, you would throw these little white balloons across the audience.
Oh, nice.
Each other. And then certain people had spray bottles. So if it was raining, not everybody had it. You just fill this water. And of course, my sister's kind of sensitive to everything. This water's probably been sitting in the bottles all day, so it was a little musty. Yeah. And I think there's one other thing that they had us do. But anyway, so it was fun. The thing, I didn't realize how many people were into this movie because if it's an Alamo party, you can say the lines with the movie. You're not supposed to say them before. You know, there's still certain rules, but I just remember there's certain lines, as you very well know, you commented, my sister was talking about that today. She was cracking up that, would you say about me? That Robert's just in it for that.
On Facebook, I said the line, you know, Robert's in it for, he got himself some corporate sponsors. Robert's sister said he's in it for the money, not the science. And I said, Robert has a lot of high-tech gadget, but he's got no instincts, and he doesn't have Murphy, as opposed to Dorothy. Murphy's the cat.
She appreciates that. So.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, so it's so funny. So there's all these, the one I just cackled in particular was, you know, like when she's like, we are definitely not going to, you know, my aunt's house. And the people, the whole audience together was like, food.
Scene will make you hungry.
Go, it's what you do. Aunt Meg in the ambulance. So
yeah, and remember you kill yourself. Yeah. Do you remember when they go to the food scene where they put the food on the Paxton's wife that is engaged to Melissa?
Oh, Jamie Gertz.
Yeah, Jamie Gertz. Yeah. They put it on her plate and she's looking at it like, ugh. It reminds me of like Ellie Sattler in Jurassic Park when they put the Chilean sea bass down. She's looking. It's like, you would be eating that in a second. That's delicious.
Yeah.
You know? I do love Twister, man. I watched that again this week because I saw it. And I love when, you remember the they try to throw Dorothy in the one time and the trailer's coming for him. The trailer's flying over their truck, but they're still sitting there in their Dodge Ram. Like, for some reason, gravity doesn't apply to this thing.
There are rules or whatever. And they also, like, you know, like, they back up like 50 feet. Like, all right, we're okay here. I'm like, are you? Like, I don't.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, that movie's so good, though. It really is. It's such a treat.
It is fun. I don't. So, yeah, I'm glad I have not seen it on the big screen since 1996. So,
wow.
It was fun. It's just different. It's a different, like we've talked before, it's different than when you just pop it on the Blu-ray.
You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you have to. Okay. So,
what have you been watching?
I've watched, we didn't talk about Prey. I watched Prey. Yep. What did you think of Prey? This is, of course, the Predator prequel.
It was good.
That's quite a bit of alliteration. Prey is the prequel to Predator.
Prequel that was premiered.
Premiered pretty.
I wish it was on Peacock, but I don't think it was. But no. I think it was Hulu. But yeah. So here's the thing. It had a lot going for it. It looked great. I liked the idea. It was finally a different spin on it. I wish it was it late 1700s? I wish it was actually done in native tongue, and maybe it was native tongue with subtitles would have made it more authentic. Otherwise, it was, I'll be honest, sometimes it was Aubrey Plaza with, you know, California dialect, you know, and stuff like that. Right. So that would end up taking you out of it sometimes. I don't know about you, but.
Yeah, no, 100%. I got the Aubrey Plaza. What's the actress's name? Amber Midthunder?
Yeah, so she is.
She is Native American.
Correct,
Comanche, but for some reason,
she does. Is it me? She does look like Aubrey Plaza.
But, no, 100%. Yeah. I even said that, I think, to my wife. I was like, that looks like Aubrey Plaza from, you know, Parks and Rec and everything. It looks just like her. I thought it was good, not great. And I really appreciated the action sequences and the scene with the bear. And I felt like that was so cool. And I felt like they give you, the Predator kind of gives you what you want when you want it during certain, like, vengeful scenes.
Yes.
But couldn't agree more about the accents. I do think it would be a lot better if it were in its native tongue.
Yes.
With subtitles. I mean, you know, when she comes back from running from the bear and her, like, relatives or friends from the tribe or whatever, like, oh, really? You need, like, a bandana for that and you're doing it? And, you know, it's like, you guys just sound like you work at, like, the surf shop across the street from me.
And you've talked about Hunt for Red October, because I think, wasn't that movie where they're speaking in Russian and then they do something?
Yeah, they zoom in close and then they zoom out and they're speaking English.
Okay, so as a way of, like, all right, everybody knows.
Yeah, we're not going to make you read American viewers this whole movie, but we're imagining this. So go ahead. They're still speaking Russian.
And there's other movies. I want to say it's a James Bond movie. Or like they start, you know, and talking in a foreign language. Or like, let's talk in English. You know.
Oh, Inglourious
Basterds.
They
just say that. Like, okay, what is it?
They do that in Inglourious Basterds too. Okay.
I know.
Like, I'm going to switch to French now and then back to English.
So I was like, they just say it, like, all right, you know.
Right.
But and maybe it could have been English with a different kind of dialect or something, that, because otherwise it just seemed kind of it just seemed kind of Californian to me.
It did seem Californian.
It was watchable. I watched all the way through. I didn't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I went in there with an open mind. It could have went either way. I wasn't expecting much, but there were some things I really enjoyed, and, you know, some things could have been better. I do like the sequence with this. Are they like French explorers, like fur trappers? I guess they are.
They actually spoke French, I think, if I remember.
They did. They did. I kind of like that whole element because there were a lot of them trapping fur, and you kind of already hate them because they're like killing animals for fur and the Predator kind of goes out and tears it up. I kind of like that scene.
It made sense, because otherwise, if they would have just kept with, you know, the one tribe, you run out of ideas quickly. So they had to kind of keep upping
the game and,
like,
do
something different. Otherwise, you're like, I think we know she's going to survive, you know, like, or something. But
oh, yeah, for sure. Would you watch it again, do you think?
I don't know if I would. I mean, that's the thing. Once I saw it, I was like, okay, that was good. It's one of those, same thing with, Trainwreck and Sharkbait. No need to ever watch again, as opposed to apparently Baby Boom. I'll watch it for 10 years.
A Clown House or something.
Probably not. So.
Yeah,
It's no Twister. Come on.
It is not any Twister.
Maybe they should do this with all these movies. Twister in 1796.
They just stand there, like, praying and screaming.
Yeah, it's, or it, go back even further, it's like, it's the god, Zeus is mad, you know, like.
Right. He had to go and get himself some Oregon Trail maps. He's in it for the plantation, not the weather.
They're going by an actual wagon, or like, well.
Right, actual wagon.
Where's the road?
Where's the road?
Like, what's a road?
What's a road? What are you talking about? Oh, Twister is great. So I watched Prey. Better Call Saul. There's one episode left this Monday, which I'm thrilled about. It's a bittersweet end, but Have you watched Better Call Saul?
I have not, but I see social media. I assume the internet will break that night. But
yeah, right. They give they do this thing where they do a time jump from Breaking Bad to events right after Breaking Bad to the middle of Breaking Bad. In these last few episodes, like Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul came back, and gotcha. They look great, obviously, like they did in Breaking Bad. But they just add on all these layers, which on paper you might think, it's kind of ambitious. It's doing a lot, but it works, and it's really fantastic. So I'm really excited for the final episode to see what happens.
Series finales are hard to do.
They are tough to do. They're really tough to do. And yeah, so we'll see. But what I said, I don't remember, like a few episodes, I said the end of Breaking Bad, or the end of Better Call Saul, the finale, they're probably going to bring in like Walter White. Like, what else could you do and introduce you? Yeah. But they knocked that out like two episodes ago. So I'm like, wow, they really have set the bar high now, because he was already in there.
Yeah.
So I don't, who knows what they're going to do. And obviously it's Breaking Bad, so you know he's going to be okay. But they also show post Breaking Bad, so he very well could die. You don't know. So yeah. It is kind of, I'm glad they did that. So Better Call Saul is great. I rewatched Public Enemies with Johnny Depp, and last night I did my annual pilgrimage to the movie of The Great Outdoors,
and it still holds up.
That old 96 ouncer. By the way, do you remember the 96 ouncer scene?
No, I'm sorry.
They the restaurant they're at, they say anyone that needs
yes.
What is it? 96 ounce steak.
Yeah.
You can, your family eats for free. Well, I did the math on that, Robert. That's 8 pounds of steak.
Is that I don't eat meat, so I don't even know if that's.
Oh, no, that's a lot. I mean,
I remember it was big in the thing, and I remember. Is this one where he's sweating trying to eat it? Yeah.
The biggest McDonald's, the sweaty part. The biggest, like, the Big Mac, or the quarter pounder with cheese. The most you would really get of steak is like a quarter pound of meat. So imagine that times whatever, 16. It's too much. So the fact that this restaurant's like your whole family eats for free, it's like, yeah, because you'll be dead.
Yeah.
Your body couldn't handle that much food in one sitting. You would have a heart attack. Your arteries
get charged for that big a steak, don't they? Because I mean,
otherwise then you get charged.
That's several meals.
Right.
That they're just giving away. As a now non-meat eater, that just sounds disgusting.
I like that you're a vegetarian.
Yeah. But I would eat, what was that, 96 ounces or what?
96 ounces.
I could easily do 96 ounces of chocolate cake, I'll tell you right now.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Probably in 8 bites if you're just going to be honest. So.
You know, I'm not really a sweet tooth guy once in a blue moon. But lately, it's been on, man. It's been on big time.
I'm going to make 96 ounces of Diet Coke. I'm like,
come on. 96 ounces of Diet Coke.
What a dream.
Like, I think you should have a pool filled with Diet Coke that you can swim and drink what you're swimming in.
Oh, it would be nice. It would be nice.
96 ounces of Diet Coke. Oh, my gosh.
And I see you watch Dave. Is this?
Yes, I watched Dave again.
Yes. I know that's one of your favorites. You can't.
I love it. It is fun. It's Robert Zemeckis did it. Zemeckis.
Gotcha. Zemeckis. Yep.
Yeah. So it's fun.
I didn't know that was one of his. Interesting.
Maybe it's not. Hold on.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. There was no special. He only does. You know, like there was not enough special effects to be.
No, it's Ivan Reitman. Sorry.
Okay. Gotcha.
Dave has that early '90s innocent world is still big. We know this is ridiculous, but it's happening and you're going to like it kind of movie, like Rookie of the Year. And, you know, they kind of like pause the laws of practicality.
He doesn't get assassinated at the end is what you're saying.
No, he doesn't get assassinated. It is funny, though.
You got
Sigourney
me thinking,
Weaver's in it.
Yeah, of course. Now that you said Ivan Reitman. So, but now you got me thinking of, you know, like everything should just go back in time, you know, like Better Telegram Saul, you know, like
Better Phonograph Saul.
Yes. Why not? You know.
I do like, I will say Prey though, I do like that they took a step back in time.
It may, well, the last one was The Predator. Oof. I mean, that was a painful watch.
I haven't seen it. I was going to watch it, too.
What?
I just couldn't find it. The one from 2018?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think I watched that one.
Yeah, it's a mess. But
is it?
Yeah.
Is it in the future?
No, it's now with the Predator dogs, and it's just...
maybe I did see that. It was bad, right?
The invisible thing. It is. It's like this is what we came up with. But that's why this just seemed at least a nice part of the not anthology, you know, it's just part of this universe.
Yeah, right. It's part of the whole world. Okay. And did you have anything else for what you've been watching?
I think I've watched enough. Yeah. I think, wow, I need to get out and exercise.
I gotta get out. I gotta get the sweat off.
Yeah.
And finally, very special night here for the world. Robert is going to show us the Jaws the game. Now, me being this shark quote unquote big fanatic, I didn't even know this game existed. Robert has owned it for decades.
How'd you find out about, or like what's, because I think you mentioned, it's like, did you know there's a Jaws? I'm like, yeah, I have one.
No, when we did a show with Bruce Hale, you had that in the back, and I was rewatching it, and I was like, what is that in the back? And this is Jaws the game.
Yep, so this is the box that come in.
I love that you have it in pristine condition.
It is in pretty good condition, and then...
Wow, look at that box. Here we
go. Game of Jaws, Jaws, Jaws! Age of 6 and up, 2 to 4 players. I don't have the instructions for it, but it says 1975. It's you against
the
great...
Is that when the game came out?
Yeah. So
this is right on the heels of the success of Jaws. They're like, let's get a game out right away.
Of course. It's you against the great white shark. One wrong move and the jaws go snap. The game of Jaws. So.
Wow. Cool box.
There it is. And so concept is... And I don't have, I couldn't find another rubber band. So this is. There's the Jaws.
I love the shark, how the tail goes up like a.
Yeah, so it kind of sits there. And so I only had one rubber band. So more or less, there's supposed to be a rubber band on each. And so you put a lot of random ocean stuff, a tire.
Tire.
A jug.
Wait, what do you mean a jug? Like a bottle kind of thing?
Yeah. Let me see.
Hilarious. Oh, gotcha.
One of those kind of jugs. This is kind of sick. There's a skull that actually has a
hole. What the hell is going on there?
I don't know. It's
like jersey. A hammer went through it.
It's jersey. You know, a boot, a bone, a camera for the, you know, Jaws too. You know, they're thinking ahead.
Nice
So a lot of different things, you know, a wheel and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different things.
Wait,
and
let me see that wheel. Is that like a wagon wheel?
It is part of a wagon wheel. So
that should be in the prequel for Jaws.
It should be, you know, for Jaws in 1796.
Right. As well.
A walkie-talkie.
Oh.
So the shark eats
anything. The walkie-talkie used to be a gun, but Spielberg edited it out to be walkie-talkie.
So anyway, so this more or less would, you know, it'd be weighted down, and so everybody has a special pick. I mean, not everybody, and you would try to, what you have to do is kind of carefully lift an item out, and then the next person would go, and they would try to, like, lift the skull out or whatever. So if this was better, at one point, what would happen is the jaw would get tighter and tighter, and then all of a sudden it would, like,
you lost. It's kind of like Operation in that way.
Yeah. So that's it for the game.
No, that's so cool. But
that's what it. This is Jaws the game right here.
And I love that shark. Now it's obviously a plastic shark. Is it heavy? Like, what's the?
No, it's just light plastic. So.
And how far does it go back? Can you like put stuff in there?
Yeah, so you can see all the way.
Oh wow.
Inside of it, so.
And the more weight that goes on there.
Yeah, so eventually, if you have the rubber bands kind of done right, it'll just like snap up like that. So.
Does it hurt your little fingers?
No, it's just little plastic. Actually, it's kind of a nice soft plastic. They were thinking, surprising for the 70s.
that's what I'm asking. Like, you never know what the 70s. They're like, remember the stuff we played on with kids? You're like, this was a toy?
Was this toy, so.
Wow, that's such a cool game. Yeah. Now, how many times have you played it practically as a kid? Was it like a big thing?
It was a thing. You know, like, well, let's play. You would I think he
like
was
he's played it at least twice.
Yeah, you would play it probably for like 10 minutes and you're like, shh, what next, you know?
Right.
So
I love that you have that.
Yeah. So, and actually I almost got rid of it because it takes up a lot of room, but
oh, you got to hold on
now,
to that.
Now I have to hold on to it because who knows when I need to bring this out. So,
wow, that's so cool. You have that.
Just
I got lost on a rabbit hole video games, of board games from that time when we were talking about that night. There was all kinds of games, obviously, but different like movie games and stuff that they would just come out with for like that month. I mean, the Dick Tracy merchandise that I still have from the early 90s is like crap, but you love them because you're like, oh wow, it's like all the stuff. Yeah. But the fact that you have like an original Jaws board game is pretty cool. And they're not like terribly cheap either. I looked on eBay. Like you can get them, but they're not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like maybe like $100 or something like that.
Gotcha. Oh, I can't buy a new house with the game.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, no, it's in good shape. So
that's awesome. Well,
they need to make a Jaws 4, the revenge game.
It's the banana boat. How many times you?
Yeah, something. I don't know what I think. Or you can actually explode the shark.
Right.
It's kind of like with the Pintos, you know, where they just barely touch it and the shark explodes.
And it's gone.
Yes.
But that was Jaws the Game, everybody. I think that's so cool you own that. And I like that you take good care of your things, Robert.
I try to.
Well, that'll be our show for tonight. Thank you for listening to the Podcastles, Set Jetter Saturdays. And we will see you on the set.
Still stuck in this house with a mind full of doubts. Tired of staring out the window. Eating too much, drinking too much. Tired of watching the grass grow. Channel 2, Channel 3, back to Channel 2. I watched everything in my queue. So put me on a train, I don't care where it's going. Fly me on a plane, maybe out to Wyoming. Need an RV, no plans, just you and me. I need to go somewhere. Still watching the rain, kids driving me insane. Another Groundhog Day routine. Stuck in my head, existential dread. What in the world does it mean? Month two, month four, can't take it anymore. I got to get my feet out the door. So put me on a train, I don't care where it's going.